Welcome to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food, brought to you from Sonoma County. Not just wine country, but farm country and food country and good living country. This is a little bit of a departure, although it's so connected to the world we live in and to the foods that we share and grow and eat. Many years ago, I had the pleasure of enjoying life in San Francisco in the 70s. And there was a place at Fort Mason called Greens and the Tassajara Bakery. And they were kind of, and still are, benchmark in the world of good, wholesome, fresh, delicious, nutritious, and thoughtful food. I think I was at the 25th anniversary. I got to be there with Sybilla Krause, who founded the Farmers Market at the Ferry Building, and many other things too. So this is a kind of a connector. And for those of you who are listening and are my age or around there or remember about this stuff, this is really kind of wonderful. So with me today is Aris Curtis, who's a farm garden manager and director. He's smiling. I like to call his farm a garden or a farm garden because it's so beautiful. It has the seriousness of good farming and the love and passion of a gardener. So we'll talk about that in a minute. And Nick Flores, who's the storyteller of the group. And we're talking about Enzo Village. We're talking about this wonderful place to live that's near Appalachian, Charlie Palmer's new hotel, just outside of Hillsburg. I want to say proper, but this is proper. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Clark, thanks for having us.
My turn. Right. So, Nick, tell us a little bit about the story of the village itself, of the whole kind of trajectory and history from Tassajara, from Greens, across the Golden Gate to us.
Yeah, I mean, Enzo Village is America's first Zen-inspired senior living community, which obviously originates from Tassajara and Greens. And I believe it was in 2006 the idea came to be that they needed a place of retirement for all these Zen teachers. And there was never a plan for it. And so Susan O'Connell, who is a practice Zen teacher from the Zen Center in San Francisco, spent a lot of time with Greens on the board there and helped with their dining program, came together with Kendall, which is an East Coast partner of ours, and developed Enzo Village. And today it's standing in proper northern Hillsburg.
So how many residents is there? And who are the people that live there? And how many people can live there? And what does it include?
Sure. Yeah. We are about 350 residents right now. We Wow. are what's called a CCRC, or a life plan community. So you move an independent and you have an age in place model. So as you kind of need more assistance throughout your life, we provide that for you.
See, I love that because that's really, to me, what Sonoma County is at its best. We come here and there are young people here. There are people of all ages here. But some of us came here because this is where we want to end up. And it's not always easy. I mean, I live in a cabin in the woods, 72 stairs from the ground. I walk up and down 72 stairs and my doctor says, that's your entire treatment. But the idea of having a Zen-focused, Zen-inspired, I'm sorry, forgive me, with all due respect, I have this image of a bunch of Zen masters trying to get on a bus and float across the river. You know what I mean? It's just so powerful. But I mean, this is the right idea,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah.
And how long has this been in development and when did it open?
2006, I would say, is when kind of the initial vision started. But pre-sales started in 2018 and we opened up in 2023.
And of the residents of the spaces there, mm-hmm. What's the percentage? How filled are you?
We are about 90% full. Wow. Across all levels, about 98% independent living alone.
Wow.
So we had a pretty big startup and, you know, as a one-of-a-kind community, the traction really grabbed. And with that Zen-inspired bit, I always like to say Zen-inspired, not required.
Yes. Well, but by the same token, people in this community, in this region, understand the value of that kind of calm goodness. And we all seek it, or many of us seek it in many different ways. And people forget that a lot of what we consider calm, spiritual, common sense either comes out of Zen tradition or certainly is in harmony with that kind of situation. All right, Aris, what brought you to this environment? Because how did you come to be the farm gardener at this beautiful spot?
It was a bit serendipitous, I think, because I was looking for work and I just happened to see that this was available. And I thought, wow, what an amazing opportunity. Like, here's something very new and different that I felt a kind of a compulsion to explore and at least go for it.
Wait a second. So is it the Zen Farm Garden section of the classifieds?
I mean,
where does one find this kind of thing? I mean,
that's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I remember going to, I think there's like calf jobs and there's good food jobs and these kind of listservs that have agricultural related positions available.
So I was Community Alliance for Family Farms.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. A calf. Small cow, but also a great organization.
Yeah, and I've always used them as a reference point to look for different opportunities that are out there.
Yeah.
And I was actually coming from working with like Michelin star restaurant at the time, and I was really looking to go back to like the roots of why I started farming to begin with, which was ultimately to be in service to the land and people. And I felt like I really needed to kind of just go back to those roots, and this felt like an opportunity to kind of do that and to be a part of something new and amazing and really set the tone for what should be the situation for retirement living. That was the big thing.
If you've just joined us, we're talking about Enza Village outside of downtown Healdsburg, and it's a magical spot with a lot of people having the best time at the latter part of their lives. So, Nick, tell us the components of the property. Because now we have this idea of these comfortable spaces to live in, but there's all, and the beautiful farm garden, but there's more.
Yeah, you know, our amenities include, obviously a pinnacle point is our Zendo, which is our meditation hall.
Yeah.
But we have everything from that to a yoga studio, to a performance venue, to art studios, anything typically that a CCRC or a life plan community will offer. I always like to kind of phrase it as a mixture between a hotel and a college campus.
Well, I mean, speaking of which, what's to eat?
Everything there is gross.
Because we had a wonderful time. You showed me one of the restaurants is vegan or vegetarian.
Yeah, so we have Tierra Cocina, which Earth Kitchen in Spanish, and that is to denote really the inspiration from Green's restaurant.
Yeah.
It is the first vegetarian bistro in a senior living community. So everything offered there is entirely vegetarian. You know, we have a lot of vegan options as well. That's a big component of Zen tradition as well.
Right, but it's also vegetarian. And then the other?
And then Sky Hall, which is our bigger dining hall, and that offers full service, breakfast, lunch, dinner, anything from, you know, a nice fried tofu dish to a filet mignon if you really want it.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you were kind enough to have me there for lunch. Folks, full disclosure, it was delicious. But it's a wonderful place. And I mean, one of the things that's relevant about this, I've been thinking about this, is I don't know if you follow these car people from France. They have this little rating system called Michelin. You mentioned it before. So right now, there are 16 three-star Michelin restaurants in America. 10 of them are in California. 7 of them are in Northern California. 3 of them are in wine country, 2 in Sonoma and 1 in Napa. What does that tell you about why we're here? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, because what is the edge over New York and Chicago and Miami? I mean, for me, it's two big things, and I want to ask what each of you thinks about it. Number one, you have a population here that really values it. You really have it, right? But number two, we got the goods. This is the Eden of all the earth, right? We are our ingredients. And it's not just that we have the ingredients. We have the people. We have the sensibility. We have the community that supports those ingredients. So, Aris, what's in the farm garden?
We have a pretty diverse operation going on there. So, you know, everything from Hakurai turnips, which are a really fun Japanese varietal that the chefs love a lot and I love growing, to gold nugget carrots, which are a beautiful yellow carrot that I personally like a lot, to broccoli, to kale, you know, and typically too, when we're doing these varietals, we're picking special stuff. So like we're not growing your typical, you know, head broccoli where it's kind of a one chop done kind of deal. We're growing the DeSico variety or DeChico variety, which produces a lot of little different heads. So we're constantly coming back and harvesting that, and it's funner for the chefs to use. So,
you know, I was very lucky and I was taken to a dinner at Single Thread, which is an extraordinary place. And I know you know those folks. Have you heard of it? That was a joke, folks. And it was a mini course meal. Obviously, the first course is this construct with maybe 11 different little bowls and plates and whatnot. I remember the broccoli. Hmm. I remember this little tender, unopened buds, you know what I mean, in a little bowl. And I just thought to myself, How did they get the sunshine in this little bowl, in these little green things?
Right.
I mean, to have a 15-course meal, whatever it is, 11-course meal, and to remember the broccoli, right, is what you're talking about here. So how big is your farm garden?
It's a quarter acre, which, yeah.
Is not nothing.
Right.
It is not nothing. I was very fortunate. I got to see the Michelle Obama White House garden when it was there. And it was 1,000 square feet or something. I mean, it was small, right? Mm-hmm. And they produced enormous amounts of really wonderful, wholesome, fresh foods. Because if you farm properly, if you have the right varieties, if you farm properly, if you harvest properly, and we'll talk about that in a minute, then you're going to get a lot of really good things out of good, healthy soil. And if you farm poorly, you can take acre and acre and acre and acres and get really lousy stuff, and we don't like that here. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk more about what else is in the farm garden and how it gets into all those nice people living there together, right back here at the table. Village. We're talking about this very magical place in a very magical place. And Nick, why don't you tell us a little bit more about how you came to this? We know that Eris just looked in the classified ads in the Bohemian or something. No, I'm teasing. But I mean, the network of people wanting to farm in Sonoma County is real. And there are places and people you can ask about it. How did you get to the position that you're in?
Yeah, if you asked me at 31 years old if I was going to be director of marketing and senior living 5 years ago, I would have said no. But I kind of fell into this job through branding consulting for the company before it really opened, and really fell in love with the team, honestly, and the culture. Today, this morning, Eris and I just did our second session of mindful community training, which is a playing field that we kind of all staff and residents go through to kind of learn how to work and live together during a stressful environment such as senior living, because we're all caregivers, really.
Yeah.
So, but for a marketing background, I did a lot of web development around the county, a lot of wineries and restaurants and stuff like that, mom and pop shops, and then one of them happened to be Enzo Village. So.
Well, see, I mean, the thing you used a word that I'm very careful about, because I always feel that branding is from the outside and involves burnt flesh. You know what I mean? It's just not right. But what you are talking about is identity.
Yeah.
You're talking about core values. You're talking about core experience. And obviously, it was sufficiently compelling to draw you into it. I mean, that is the goal of telling the story of what something is, right?
Correct.
And it's a little bit too... and where did you learn about how to do that?
Through branding, kind of consulting, kind of just took on a lot of clients. I mean, my background is more technical, right?
No, I don't know. Where did you go to school? What'd you study?
So, I went to Tufts University and studied computer science, actually.
Yeah.
And I got really into web development, kind of the back end. But I've always said I've been a right brain in practice, but a left brain in theory.
Yeah.
So I've kind of always had a more creative energy to myself, and it's really been the combination of the two.
Well, see, people have to remember that if you're an artist, you need to be a craftsperson. And what we're finding more and more, because the world is evolving and young people are constantly going into technology, and it's so funny. If somebody says, I'm in technology, they don't ask any more questions. They just say, okay, right? Somebody says, you're a food consultant, and I have to say, I am a food consultant. Do you tell broccoli what to have for lunch? I mean, what does that mean? Whereas food is the largest industry in the world, and if you look at technology, and you look at all the different pieces of technology, it's marketing, it's organization, it's finance, it's international relations, it's it's all the things that every industry has. Right. And it's just applied in a particular direction.
Yeah.
So what happens is you went to Tufts, which is a very good university. Some of my dear friends went there. And I just want to shout out for going to school because we're exposed to other things.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And we learn. And the idea of going to college, university, is to not just get some learning and maybe a little training, not too much training, but to open your mind to see what's possible,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's obviously what happened.
Ironically, too, I was spending most of my college career studying Japanese culture and film. So I think actually it's a little serendipitous for me to be at Enzo Village. Which
there is nothing serendipitous about that. Ask the Zen master.
Fated, or however you want to call it.
You were drawn.
I was drawn.
You were drawn. Yeah. And Aris, where did you learn about farming?
It really all started in my parents' backyard.
Ooh.
Right? Because I started gardening, you know, on their piece of land in the backyard, which they were very gracious enough to let me use that piece of land, which was very, very tiny. I mean, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know, 25 square feet of space.
And where was this?
This was in Los Angeles.
Oh,
that's where I grew up.
Okay, where?
Yeah, so in the suburbs of Reseda.
Oh, Reseda?
Yeah, San Fernando Valley.
Excuse me, I'm a Valley boy. And the bottom line is, when I was a kid, because I'm much older than you are, I was surrounded by lemon groves and orange groves, and we had jackrabbits in the backyard, and we had Meyer lemons, and we had an apricot tree, and we had a tangerine tree. Mm. And even in the valley, my mother raised lilacs. She'd have to put ice cubes on the roots to keep them from, you know, committing suicide or whatever it was, and roses and all the rest of that stuff. And I remember, I mean, people don't understand, so often we get people here in Northern California from Southern California, and they kind of look at us kind of funny, like, are you from the ambitious Los Angeles area? And the bottom line is, we grew up surrounded by nature in an environment that didn't necessarily sufficiently value it.
Right.
Which is why we came here, right? Yeah. And Reseda and Sepulveda and Sherman Oaks, that was farmland.
Yeah.
That was, right? I remember as a kid, and the Jackson family had a really good big compound where they grew produce.
Yeah.
As in Michael Jackson, folks. That's what I'm talking about. So you got there and you're planting in your parents' backyard. They were able to keep their eye on you. You were roller skating. I was going to say skateboarding, but that's pre-skateboard. You were roller skating out front.
Yeah.
So, and what did you grow there?
Oh, the first plant I grew was Swiss chard, and I don't think I ever even ate any of it. It barely grew.
Okay, so this is a very important issue, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes people like to grow things that they don't necessarily like to eat.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Sometimes chefs like to cook things that they don't necessarily like to eat. They just enjoy cooking them. Mm. Folks, that's okay. Just share with others. So what was your first success in the dirt?
Probably summer squash. That was the first success, which,
because you can't ruin that.
You really can't, and you inevitably give away all of it to your neighbors.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're the kid in the neighborhood that left random squash on people's front porches.
Exactly, right. And overgrown, slightly inedible at that point. squash as well. Yeah, that, and then probably tomatoes was my next one. But even then, I was doing everything wrong, and that was part of the beauty of starting there, was I was able to make every mistake in the book right away.
Well, and one of the things that I like to say over and over again, because some people in the agricultural field, particularly the larger and more so-called professional ones, often say that farmers learn slowly. That's a lie. Mm. When they say that, what that means was, it took us years to convince farmers to use pesticides and other poisons and bad practices. That's what it means. Because farmers, you have to move on a dime, don't you? I mean, you see a cloud in the sky, you move the sheep. Not you personally, but you know what I mean?
No, everything's really dictated by weather and by nature.
Yeah, and life.
And life, yep.
So how long were you down there and where did you go from there?
I was down there until about 24, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, and I started going to community college at basically the same time that I started gardening, and I was just kind of messing around there, taking a bunch of random classes.
Which community college? Which one?
What was it called? Pierce College.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No. This is not exactly Shone Farms, but Pierce College has some background in that area.
It totally does. And they have a working farm there. The unfortunate part, it doesn't have Shone's beautiful, you know, program, right?
Excuse me. It's not in the Russian River Valley with 365 acres. I mean, Shone Farm is considered the best college farm in America.
Yeah. If I had had Shone Farm when I was going there, I would have been so happy. Oh my God.
Hey, yeah. You got the job.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you went to Pierce College and you're fooling around in the backyard and you're going to school. What were you studying?
So I'm just studying really random classes. I'm just going to kind of random
classes.
You're
going to college.
Just kind of figuring it out.
Yeah.
And when I started gardening, I was simultaneously taking plant science classes. And it was really clicking for me, like the in-ground experience, you know, the experiential learning with that, and then also the kind of academic side of it all kind of coming together. And that was also the stuff I was most interested in. I loved working with the earth. I loved learning about that in the most detailed fashion that you possibly could. So it got me really, really excited for my future with that potentially. And then really, too, it was also giving back to people. You know, yeah. It was like giving that summer squash out and giving the tomatoes out.
But see, you were a chemist with a positive result. Right. You didn't want to blow things up, right? large zucchini. You didn't want to blow things up. You wanted to play with the chemicals, you know, understand how this nature thing, because chemistry is just nature, right?
Right.
And people forget. We'll talk about this more in the next. But... scientists are very often, most often, faith-based, because science is just gathering the information and then taking the leap of faith to feel that you understand what it means and being open to the possibility that there's more to learn. We're going to learn more about Enzo Village when we come back, right back here at the table. I'm Clark Wolf, and we're talking. I'm going to call this Eris and Nick's wonderful adventure, or delicious adventure.
There you
right?
go. There Nick, sure.
Eris, we were talking about growing up in Southern California. You said you were on a quarter acre. You have a quarter acre. You were in the backyard. Mm-hmm. The quarter acre thing. I mean, we have a farm here called Quarter Acre. You know, and she makes a living in her life on a quarter acre, right? And you're serving 350 people.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how much food you can really produce out of a quarter acre. The way it's kind of set up there and the way we track it is we want to see how much can we reduce our external vendor dependency.
Yeah.
Right? And so we kind of rate that as a percentage. And each year we've slowly increased it. And right now we're closing in on about 10% every year of contribution.
Oh, all right. Well, that's really significant.
It's very significant. Yeah, people are always super shocked at how much produce I'm lugging away Monday and Friday from that garden. I mean, literally, my golf cart that I use to transport it is completely full, to the point where if I make one false move, I mean, it's all spilling over kind of thing, which is lovely. And people can see that abundance and feel that abundance.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wonderful.
So when I was working many years ago with the Lowe's Coronado Bay Resort, it was on a mound of dirt in the bay that had been a pig farm. So it was vibrant. Right? And they had these buildings that were like fingers. Mm-hmm. And so I made them plant an herb garden. At that time, I was working at Lowe's Hotels. I made them have an herb garden at every single property all over the country. Mm-hmm. And in New York City, if you ever saw the Marilyn Monroe or the dress flipped up from the subway, mm-hmm. that corner, 51st and Lexington, there was a big hotel. And we had an herb garden on the 18th floor fire escape. Mm-hmm. And the thing in New York many years ago was you couldn't eat basil that was grown below the fourth floor because of the lead in gasoline, right? Right?
Yeah.
So everything's contextual, and you can grow a lot wherever you are, but I think one of the most important things about living in a community where the food is being grown right there is the awareness, right? Is that the reason we did it is to make sure that everybody who cooked understood that food didn't come from the back of a truck. Right. Right. I mean, right. and you want to reduce your dependence on outside sources, but the outside sources are pretty wonderful, aren't they?
I was going to say, yeah, that's something we're really lucky with here. In fact, when I moved here, I remember thinking that, like, wow, we are in the mecca of everything good when it comes to food. I mean, the best of the best is out here. And people are even shocked when they say, like, hey, are you doing this all year round? And it's like, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, explain also the physicality of the space, because you showed me that I mean, it's the rows curve. First of all, it's beautiful. But second of all, you had a challenging topographical, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Situation. And so you made it into good practice and art.
Yeah, I basically came in with a blank canvas, which was another very exciting reason for me to join, was, wow, I can be part of something really from the ground up, both in the actual design and implementation of the farm, and also being a part of something new for senior living that I thought was very necessary for this world.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so when I got there, there was a big drainage ditch in the middle of the garden that I could not remove that was connected to a lot of different really important areas, you know. So this drainage system was already in place there, and I saw that the blank canvas part of the farm was a kind of hot mess when it came to flooding and water pooling, and so I knew that the design would have to be around passive water management and getting that water ultimately like through and out of the garden as best that I could, hence why the curved rows came into play, hence why the creek, dry creek summer, wet creek winter came into play. So it kind of took what could have been somewhat of a problem or issue and really turned it into a really creative solution that actually very much helps, I think, with the overall aesthetics and function of the farm.
And that's what we do here in Sonoma County, right? I mean, good small farmers here in Sonoma County work with the land, not against it.
Right.
So often I talk to people about their farm and they have 9 acres and an acre and a half is in food. Right? They have pasture. Sometimes they have animals, sometimes they don't, but they have to have pasture. They need their grasses, and they have woods, they have forests, they have, you know what I mean? And then there's the house. So we're working with, and in each situation, you have to find that spot on the property that's going to work. And then you have to figure out how to lean into nature.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you do?
That's absolutely it. Yeah. And in fact, I focus a lot of my regenerative farming practices on biomimicry. So I'm literally learning from what nature has to teach. And then, yeah, working with that flow, not against it, riding the wave, so to speak, then.
That's very LA surfer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got to bring that with me, you know, up north, right?
Welcome to a salad. We call that the Zuma Beach salad, right? Exactly. So you're doing this, you're going to school. What were the next steps that, you know, in between? You said you worked with some Michelin star restaurants.
Yeah, so I went from, as I was going to community college gardening in my parents' backyard, I started realizing that idea of farming for a career, and did a little bit of volunteer work in the LA area a little bit. But then eventually, as I was going through community college, next thing you know, it's like I had enough credits to move to a university. And so I started looking at what were the different opportunities that were there, and UC Davis popped up with a sustainable agriculture and food systems degree. And I thought, wow, that's perfect for what I'm trying to do. And so I applied and got in, and then kind of everything took off from there. So going to UC Davis and studying up there was wonderful, and working with top researchers and other farmers in the area.
So I have to ask you, because I've been to Davis, and you know, it's always brought up, but is there what is the ratio of regenerative sustainable farming education to what is laughingly called conventional farming? Because for 13,000 years, conventional farming was organic. Mm-hmm. So I don't like that. I go into Whole Foods stores and I yell at them. You know what I mean? It's like,
You're the one.
I'm the one. That's chemical farming. That's industrial farming. That's not, right? That's not, but anyway, what was the kind of mix?
Well, you'd imagine this, right? So I go in thinking it's going to be a bunch of regenerative talk and like all this stuff. And here I am. I'm in a class where I have literally two professors. One of them is talking about how never to use pesticides, and the other one's teaching me how to set up a pesticide rig.
Yeah.
So literally it was that, you know, juxtaposition was happening in the exact same classroom.
I was on a panel with some other wonderful people about food and farming, and this gentleman at the time said, and in Fresno they do $7 billion a year in food and agriculture. And so then it was my turn, and I said, how many of you want to live in Fresno? And everybody did what you just did. They burst out laughing. Nobody wants, I mean, God bless. I mean, they're wonderful people in Fresno.
Yeah,
and honestly, someday down the road, Fresno's going to have to get cleaned up.
Yeah.
Because if we're going to keep growing things, and you know, and people from the Central Valley come here and say, you have all these people visiting your farms. How come we can't have people? And that's because they'd need a gas mask. I mean, have you ever been to parts of British Columbia where they're growing pears? Anyway, never mind. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit. I want to find out where these two guys came to food in general. What it, you know. I often talk about the fact that my mother was wonderful and very talented and concert pianist and raised roses and grew any kind of a plant and just ruined anything she cooked. We'll be right back here finding the good news at the table. We are back at the table. I'm Clark Wolf with Eris Curtis and Nick Flores, and we're talking about Enzo Village. And that was a long string of fairly short words, so I think I got it right.
Okay, perfect.
Right. Yeah. Eris, you were talking about the trajectory and how you went to UC Davis. And then when did you get involved in restaurants?
That was when I moved up north, actually, up here in Sonoma County. Yeah, and it was funny. That was during COVID, and I remember I got together with someone who was working for a lot of different fancy restaurants in the area, from one star to three star, yeah. Michelin. And so he kind of opened up that door to working with these restaurants. And then eventually I worked as a farmhand on a farm called Bluebell Farm in Sonoma.
Yeah.
And that was for the restaurant Atelier Crenn,
yeah.
in San Francisco.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's amazing. And I eventually became the farm manager there,
wow.
which was nice. And I ran that farm for 4 years. Yeah. And I really think that my proudest moment working there actually was really stewarding the land back to true health again.
You know, I think I'm glad you said that, and it's really important for people to know that it's not that easy to ruin land. I mean, not that hard to ruin
right.
land. We
yeah.
do it very quickly in this culture, right?
Yeah.
And if you know about Jack London State Park, he was brilliant as a farmer, and he took whole hillsides that had been completely depleted and used 2,000-year-old Chinese practices to bring the earth back into health, and they're still growing that way there now as a preserve. It's kind of amazing. So you got to be farm manager,
mm-hmm.
and then
yeah, and I was doing farm manager work before that. And you know, it's funny with COVID though, how nothing was there was almost
crazy.
Nothing available. But I knew I needed to continue farming. I just knew that.
Yeah.
So it worked out really nicely there. And yeah, I started farming in that area. And again, going back to the stewardship part, like that farm had seen a lot of neglect. And
yeah.
just like you're saying, it's so easy to kind of ruin land. It's almost just as easy to regenerate it back to health.
Say that again slowly, right? As easy as it is to ruin a piece of land, a part of our land, it's almost that easy to bring it back to health because nature is incredibly powerful.
And incredibly resilient. And
yeah.
it really wants to bounce back. And if you just give it that gentle, warm push into that direction, it will give you things that you've never...
I mean, what you're making me think of is how clear and clean everything was during the pandemic. How suddenly the skies were no longer smoggy. I mean, right? The world was very sweet when we calmed down because we had to hide.
Right.
Right? At that time, I was buying produce from the Sebastopol Farmers Market from an app that they started. So you would do it and you would pay for it. And then you would drive by with a mask on, and they had a mask on, and they'd run over with a bag of produce.
Yeah.
And I thought, maybe we should consider that.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
So you were running all these things and you learned all these things. Besides the juxtaposition between those two professors, mm-hmm. what has been some of the biggest surprises about all of this? Maybe the regeneration, the fact that it comes back so quickly, but what else? Anything else?
I think learning the magic sauce behind it all, which in my philosophy and theory now, it's that the idea of give back more than you take.
Yeah.
That is the true magic sauce, not just for farming, just in life.
Yeah.
I feel like if everyone applies that, what you get back is beyond what you could ever have dreamt about.
And folks, that's not a Hallmark card. That's a reality that we can live, right? That is possible, that we can track, that we can see. All right, I'm going to pause for a second because this is making me emotional, quite frankly. It is. I mean, this is the important, this is why yeah. I do this. This is why we're talking about these things. But I want to find out what you grew up eating. Nick, what'd you grow up eating where?
Well, I grew up in Healdsburg, so
yeah.
I grew up eating from the farms too. I mean, one of those families that had chickens growing up too. So,
yeah.
you know, we try to do a lot of things in-house, and my dad was born in Mexico, so I'm first-gen Mexican-American.
Oh,
but one
wow.
of the things my mom did for him growing up was learn how to make tortillas from scratch.
Oh.
So that's kind of my bread and butter.
All right, so we're going to be going to El Molino Central right after this.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, we're going to the Pupuseria down the street.
All right, there you go. All right, so I mean, listen, if you're from California, if you're Northern California, or from Italy, right, the other plan that's always going on is what are we eating next,
mm-hmm.
right? What have we just eaten that we really loved, and what are we eating now? So, and you grew up in Southern California, so you went to Bob's Big Boy.
I was going to say, yeah.
Come on, let's be honest here, right?
No, really, though. Like, my upbringing was, I was not connected to food at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I didn't also, I have no real culture in my family. We didn't practice any cultural anything. So I really gravitated towards the Latin community in my area.
Oh, smart, smart, yeah.
Right? So, like, Mexican food was, like, my go-to, always. I felt very connected to that, I guess.
I mean, and we have to remember that in California, when you say food, you probably mean Mexican food. Like, let's yeah. go get some food. In New York, let's go get some food, might be Chinese. Right,
right, right.
Or Italian. San Francisco, yeah. it might be Italian. California in general, food is from Mexico, right? And we're fine. By the way, we finally have a Mexican restaurant with 3 stars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind
right.
of a
I've
very big
that.
Deal.
Yeah.
It was probably going on much longer than was acknowledged.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right.
But so I love that. I want a T-shirt that says, "My family had no real culture. I want a taco." All right. When we come back, we'll just have a few more minutes, and I want us to talk a little bit about, you know, what's the immediate and longer range future of this master experiment that seems to be going very well at Enzo Village. We'll be right back here at the table. Enzo Village. We're talking with Eris and Nick, and we've been talking about a lot of things, but Enzo Village is, on the one hand, intellectually, it sounds incredibly ambitious. And then when you go to the property, it makes complete sense. I mean, there's something so logical, natural, I believe is the operative term here, right? And real about the whole thing. Is this something that will be replicated other places, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, that's our goal, is to be part of raising that benchmark colloquially and collaboratively with the whole senior living industry, right? You know, evolving that experience of aging is something that I think can be kind of turned over into a lot of different modems.
And Eris, in terms of farming, obviously you're surrounded by some really great master farmers.
Yeah.
Do you feel that there's something that you're doing with that earth, the way you've described it, it sounds very, very special, that can be benchmarked, that's something that people can learn from across the board?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, every location of where you're farming to is different. And, you know, even if my techniques are just a little bit different than the, you know, the front porch farm, which is right down the street.
Gosh, so wonderful.
I think we both can be learning from each other. And that's the whole idea of keeping kind of an open source of information, an open flow of information. So we can all be learning together. Because at the end of the day, too, the decisions you're going to make, that I'm going to make specifically at Enzo Village versus a decision that Front Porch Farm is going to make, are going to be wildly different just based off location alone.
Exactly.
Then, and the microclimates that exist in both those
every
places.
Every 30
right?
inches.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Everything.
Yeah.
I was doing something with a school garden in Guerneville, and we did a summer program where we had kids from the junior college, and they would come out and they would learn about planning and planting and teaching in a school garden.
Mm.
And one of the people that came 2 summers in a row was a lunch lady. Right? So I can't help thinking that the people who are working in your kitchens are so psyched about coming out into your garden and farm and seeing all these things and getting to work with them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Both staff and residents. I mean, anytime that you can come out, and this is part of what we're doing, right, is we really want to create an intimate experience where you can truly feel connected to your food and also take ownership of that food. And so for a resident or a staff member to come out and literally see it go from seed to plant to then you're now eating it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true.
That's everything.
Yeah.
Towards the end of my mother's life, and she died at 80, which for an immigrant is pretty good. She had a little contraption. She could be on her knees so that she could garden without hurting herself.
Mm.
That my brother bought her, and it just makes me happy. Nick, quickly, what's the website? How do we find out?
It's going to be enzo.kendall.org. That's ENSO.kendall with 1L.org.
All right. Listen, thank you for all you're doing for generations to come. And for the things you're doing every single day, we'll we'll see you in the garden. And again, folks, you can't just go there, right? You have to live there, although call Nick and he'll give you a tour. We'll be with you next time at the table.
Thank you, Clark.
Thanks, Clark. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You did paradise and put up a pumpkin.